From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 16th day of March 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll look at the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard from the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Emerson Nafziger, state agronomist from the U of I, will be along to take up whether or not planting at this time of year for corn is a good idea. There are some caveats. He said it could be genius, but that the odds are against genius at this point in time. And as we close out our program today, we'll take up the weather forecast to see how close to genius that might be, planting corn, that is, with Jim Angel. He's the Illinois State Climatologist and will help us look at what Illinois weather will be like in the coming week right here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago, on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day mostly higher. Nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat up 7 1/4 to settle at $6.72. July at $6.77 1/4, up 4 3/4. May corn futures up 4 cents today, $6.73. The final price, July at $6.70 1/4, up 3 1/4. September ended the week at $6.05 1/4, up 3 quarters on the day. And December futures at $5.74 1/4 in the corn pit, up 2 cents for the harvest month. March contract, 5.84 1/4, up 2 3/4. In the May, 5.90 3/4, up 2 1/4 cents. May soybeans, $13.74, and nickel higher. July at 13.80 3/4, up 5 1/4 cents. August at 13.69 1/4, up 4 cents. September at 13.47 1/4, up 3.5. And November beans, $13.28 1/4, the harvest month, a gain of 2. January futures for the soybeans at 13.28 3/4, finished 2.5 cents higher. Bean meal at 374.40, up 3. Bean oil at 55.50, 2 cents higher. Live cattle futures in the June at 122.70, down 15. April feeders at 154.30 for the day, finished $1.70 lower. The May contract there at 155.90, $1.40 lower on the afternoon. And the May lean hogs today at $94.40 per 100 pounds, finished 75 cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like for the day. Nearby crude oil futures in the April at $107.21, up $2.10. Ethanol at $2.35 1/2, a penny and 8 cents lower, rather higher for the day. Natural gas at $2.34, that's up a 6 1/10 cents. And the heating oil for the day, $3.28 6/10 cents. That's diesel fuel, up 6 3/10 cents. Gold futures at $1,655.50. A troy ounce, down $3.60. And the dollar at 79.77, down 0.37. The CRB index at 317.93, 2.03 higher for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. A few isolated showers and thunderstorms. It'll be partly sunny. Otherwise, it's beautiful outside at the moment. A high of 82 degrees today with a south wind at about 10 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is pretty slight, set at 20%. Tonight, isolated showers and thunderstorms. A low of 59 with a south wind at 7 to 10. That 20% chance of rain continues. And then Saturday, a 40% chance of showers, a few thunderstorms, partly sunny, a high of 80 degrees with a southwest wind at 9 to 11, gusting to 16. Saturday night, a 40% chance of showers continues, a few thunderstorms then, mostly cloudy, and a low of 60 degrees on Sunday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny, high of 79. Sunday night, cloudy and 60. Monday, partly sunny and 79. Monday night, partly cloudy and 60. Tuesday, sunny and 80 degrees. Tuesday night, 59. Wednesday, sunny and 76. Wednesday night, mostly cloudy and 57. And on Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll still be awfully warm for the month of March at 72 degrees. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
On the phone line this Friday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of futures at the CME Group in Chicago is Mike Zuzulo at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hey, Todd. Happy Friday, sir.
Oh, happy Friday. And, you know, the weekend's here. What a great week it's been just outside. Another good week. Producers are moving in the fields and some of them doing more than they want, others not as much as they'd like, but it's all fun. And the springtime certainly has come, and we've had a little rally in the marketplace. Tell me about it for the week.
Well, we've got March Madness, both here in the basketball tourney and in the farming community. And, yeah, you're right. We've had some scratching around. I've heard Greene County, Illinois farmers are trying to get at it a little bit this early. I think the biggest thing I saw on my plate this week was the very timely ability of wheat to once again come in and help the corn market out quite a bit. Thanks once again to the wheat, corn got some respect this week, got some higher price action this week. July corn up 26 and a quarter. It's testing its 200-day moving average now for the first time since January 3rd, Todd. December corn up a little over 15 cents. It's matched its March 5th high now and is testing that 575 resistance. I think this is mainly due to the wheat because we saw demand come in the form of Egyptian and Iranian purchases. We also saw supply come in with the Ukrainians, the European Union, and the French, the Russians. And late in the week, the United States weather started to play a role. And I actually think had it not been for the supply concerns, and this actual demand showing up in Egypt and Iran, we probably would not have seen the corn imports as strong as we did at 240,000 tons at the beginning of the week. So what I saw this week was confirmation that the global supplies of wheat that the USDA said was diminishing last week are indeed headed on their way down. Supply and demand is picking up. It's taking the pressure off of feed corn competition, and that's what we're starting to see is more feed corn demand pick up here. And I think that gave us a nice week. Now, I think two things. Weather would have probably pushed new crop corn lower for the week had it not been for these occurrences and these events fundamentally. I think, secondly, we're under a pretty tight timeline here to probably get some new crop hedges in place in case we really do open up the planting window. Some of the more famous and well-read analysts in commodities are talking about, quote, huge, unquote, corn crops. Because of the planting window and also the idea that we'll pollinate before we get to the heat of the summer and we'll have massive yields. So I think there is probably a window here. We want to get something on the books in terms of hedges, and probably that window's coming between now and the end of the month.
How is it that wheat went from a crop that we were looking at on the world stage that was holding back corn to a crop that is now pulling it forward?
You know, it's one of those crops that really comes in and surprises the trade almost every time. Before I went over to France this past winter to do a marketing seminar, I did a chart of Paris wheat and Chicago corn and Chicago wheat, and it was really interesting because wheat was able to top 3 to 6 months before the corn would top, both Paris wheat and Chicago wheat. But when it came to price bottoms, they almost always bottomed within 2 to 3 weeks of one another. And so wheat is very quick to snap back historically, and that's why it's such a wonderful leader from an analytical perspective. The actual answer to that, I suspect, is because it's grown in so many different places, it probably has more susceptibility of either being a great crop in a lot of places or a really rough crop in a lot of places. So it swings the balance sheet quite a bit.
Well, is the balance sheet being swung at the moment on supply being dwindled by usage? Or is it that the idea that there's been a pretty tough winter in a large part of the northern hemisphere and that the wheat crop coming on, yet to be harvested this summer, will not be as large as many had hoped?
You know, I think it's very in line with what we talked about at the beef house on the soybean panel when you asked me about that. I think wheat is a supply-driven, weather-driven rally. It's not so much that the demand is improving that much. It's that the available competition and the available supplies are dwindling. It's making the demand step up and buy more, probably faster than it wanted to. It got off the sidelines, got off the fence, and wanted to pick up some extra business and extra demand because of the weather side. I think it's a lot like beans. And, you know, not to segue too much into the beans, but I thought the oil crops outlook by USDA after the supply-demand report came out last week. They put out their monthly oil crops outlook, and they did talk about the international trade in beans fading, and that was their word, fading, as the rising costs and weaker outlooks for macroeconomics would start to ration use. So they do indeed, we talked about this last Friday after the report, they do indeed see a rationing of demand. That elasticity is starting to hit, in their opinion, and they put in there realizing the revised forecast, but they're taking the imports down. Even with them taking the imports down, the revised forecast that they put out, it would still take about a 9% year-over-year increase in imports of China in particular for the numbers to still work out. In other words, we're still very, very, it's going to be very, very tough to meet the number that USDA gave us last Friday, and it suggests that unless their economy improves or the soybean prices drop, we could be in store for further demand reductions, further import reductions from China. I think wheat's very similar in that respect, too.
So is this just an idea that both wheat and soybean are more human food than not, corn in particular, and that because of their expense, that China, other nations are going to cut back on them? And is that an inflationary sign, or how do you view it?
Well, I think USDA put it right when they said when China says they're going to go down to 7.5% growth compared to 9.2 last year and 10.4 in 2010 as far as actual GDP, that forecast growth rate is going to be the lowest since 1990. That's going to be fewer new jobs, and that's going to be less income appreciation. There's been a lot of clamoring in Asia and the Near East for wage increases. It's going to be very hard to have wage increases when you have government spending more and more on fuel subsidies and spending more and more on trying to get their economy started up again. And so I think that's where kind of the rubber hits the road, and that's where the natural resistance and the headwinds come in at. To answer your first question, yes, when it comes to soybean oil and soybeans and wheat, because they're traditionally food, they're more easily to be substituted. They're more easily to be sensitive to the end, to the retail side or the end user side. They actually addressed that in that oil crops outlook that I referenced as well. They said the soybean oil is actually going to be compensated for because of its high price with more competitively priced rapeseed oil. So I think, yeah, you've got more substitutes and it's more food, so it's more elastic.
Okay, so balance that out against the big corn crop. And I suspect, and you've told us you want to be in and done with that before this crop starts to go in for new crop and some of your sales.
Right.
Now you look at soybeans and you have to balance out lagging demand, I suppose, not lack of demand.
And uncertain weather, right.
Uncertain weather, and then the number of acres available to put to that crop, which may be just as many or more, I suppose, as we have last year, but depends kind of on how long the planters roll for corn.
Yeah, that's the big thing in the near term. You know, it's funny you asked me this because I had the exact question. I think this goes to how good you and Dave are about picking out questions that producers ask, because I had this exact question asked of me about an hour ago from a client in Tolono. And I said, my take on this market right now is that corn and beans can both fall together if the wheat decides to top here, that we go into a more supply-negative mindset because planters start to roll. The rally has occurred. It kind of tightens the demand up. The demand doesn't want to bid up anymore. They want to wait till after planting because they've got most of their near-term needs covered. And so whereas they both go down together, the corn and the beans, that is, I think the corn has a better likelihood of actually putting in a bottom after planting, depending on where it ends up going down to. Whereas the beans, I think it's going to be a lot harder for the beans to come back around because they are going to be more susceptible to demand erosion. In other words, I think there's going to be actually less competition in corn than there is going to be in beans 5-6 months down the road. And I think the trade's already assumed a much, much bigger supply side for corn than they have beans as well. So that premium in the beans is already in there to a degree, and the discount somewhat is already in there in the corn. So they both go down the short term, but I think the corn finds its support maybe before the 4th of July for the rest of the marketing year, depending on what you just said, how fast those planters roll.
Mike, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. He's in Lafayette, Indiana, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon. You can hear him again at willag.org. Your Director of Ag Programming, Dave Dickey, will be here in just a moment with today's Ag News.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Senate yesterday passed a two-year $109 billion transportation bill to rebuild roads, bridges, and rail systems, and sent the measure to the House of Representatives. House Speaker John Bonner has said he will take up the Senate bill if Republicans cannot agree on a longer-term measure that reforms public transit funding. Funding authority for highway and rail construction projects expires on March 31st. Some 1.8 million construction workers could face layoffs if no action is taken before then. Iowa State University ag economist Dermot Hayes says a shallow loss program would encourage more commodity production on marginal land at the fringes of the Corn Belt and also push down prices in the main corn and soybean states. The Senate Agriculture Committee is holding hearings on risk management and commodities today that include four panels and 12 witnesses. It's the last scheduled hearing for senators who have indicated that they want to write and pass a farm bill out of committee this spring. Hayes says that he's studied some of the main proposals for shallow loss programs and also used information from a University of Illinois study. Hayes says that farmers in states where weather is more variable would be willing to risk increased planted acres if they are offered a percent of revenue guarantee that does not cost them out of pocket. The Federal Reserve Board on Wednesday said that it has launched an official Twitter account, its latest step in explaining to the public more about the central bank. The official Twitter account for the central bank at Federal Reserve will mainly include links to press releases, speeches, reports to Congress, monthly reports on credit and liquidity programs, as well as reports on the Fed's balance sheet. The European Parliament yesterday approved a deal between the EU and both the U.S. and Canada on hormone-treated beef, ending one of the trading partners' oldest disputes. The case dates back to 1988, when the European Union banned all imports of beef from cattle treated with growth hormones, a move that prompted U.S. and Canadian sanctions of $125 million a year on European products. The main beneficiaries of lifting the U.S. sanctions are expected to be Italy, Poland, Greece, Ireland, Germany, Denmark, France, and Spain. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. That second program we'll post to our website this evening by about 6 o'clock. Our guest this week in studio will include Greg Johnson of the Andersons, Ellen Dearden from AgriView, and Dale Durkles from AgriVisor on the phone line from the LaSalle Group in Chicago. Mark Deitch, he's a U of I Ag Econ grad, so it should be a great show. Commodity Week up on our website at willag.org by about 6 o'clock this evening. Up next, you know, mid-March weather in Illinois. It's just been fantastic and exactly what a corn farmer dreams about for planting. Well, with the exception that it's about a month early, I'll have more in a moment on if and when Illinois farmers should really decide to make the planters roll across the state.
I mean, this is the sort of weather that we dream of. The problem is we don't usually dream of it happening in the middle of March.
That's Emerson Napsiger. He's an extension agronomist at the University of Illinois and says farmers have been calling asking whether or not it's okay to go ahead and plant corn in the middle of March.
The real concern, of course, is whether the weather is going to stay this way or whether it's going to turn wet and cold, and we'll be standing here a month from now watching the cold rain fall and on a crop that just got frosted off 2 days ago and wondering what we were thinking.
Well, that part might not be so difficult to divine. Most farmers are thinking, hey, if I could just get the crop in early enough, I'll be able to catch a great big early harvest premium in late August. Here's maybe what they're not thinking about.
One of the issues this year is that the supply of seed corn is not as good as it's been in recent years. That was due to production problems with the weather that we had last year. There's a lot of seed that is on its way or will be on its way from South America, and we're going to need that to finish our last acres. Much of it is not here yet. So the seed that we do have on hand is probably enough to get us planted. The concern is if we have to have widespread replanting, and if we get down to 25 degrees the last week of March or the first week of April, we're going to have some replanting that's going to need to be done. Then our concern becomes what sort of hybrids, how much seed we'll have, if we're going to have the hybrids that we really want, or if we're going to have to fall back on whatever we've got, we'll have to plant because our first line expensive seed that we planted is now gone.
The other thing Knapsiger says to consider when salivating over the potential early harvest premiums is to remember planting early doesn't push harvest up as far as you might expect it to. Corn maturity works on growing degree days, and those just don't usually pile up in March or April or even May.
The other thing I would add is that when it's this condition in March, you know, you look at the calendar and here you've got 6 weeks during which you can get your corn planted at any time, and we expect yields to be good. And so if you need to convince yourself that you can wait, just take a look at the calendar and watch those weeks stretching out in front of us.
Oh, Himmerson, Knapsiger says if it stays warm and dry, planting now might seem genius in those coming weeks. But the odds, well, they're not in favor of genius. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
This Stock and Commodity Report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Time for the cash grain market on this Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard of Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois, is on the phone line. Producers more interested in bringing grain in or getting the planter ready to go today?
More interested in either getting the planter ready to go or out doing some tillage work.
Not recreational tillage, I hope.
Yeah. we're going to assume not. How's that?
How about that? That's good. That's good. So basis in your area is staying strong?
Remain strong. We're still looking at nearby numbers, you know, in the overs and a flat market out through the summer. So some pretty interesting basis numbers out there. Producers remain good scale up sellers. When you hit a new high, you buy corn. When it backs off, nothing happens.
I guess that's the way it's supposed to happen.
That's the plan. It's just we have a hard time executing it sometimes.
Oh, I'm sure $7 out there somewhere. I know they keep saying that, right?
Yep.
What's your bid for the day, by the way?
We are at $6.77 on nearby corn and $13.58 on soybeans.
Hey, thanks so much, Bruce.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us on this Friday afternoon. We'll say goodbye to some of our radio stations. For the rest of you, stay with us. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll talk about the weather forecast.
It's National Artichoke Hearts Day. California provides nearly 100% of the U.S. crop, and 80% of that is grown in Monterey County, where the town of Castroville proclaims itself to be the artichoke center of the world, and which holds an annual festival featuring artichoke ice cream. On this day in agricultural history in 1819, the first clinical description of an allergy, hay fever, was delivered to a medical group in London. In 1864, Richard Roberts died, a mechanical engineer and inventor. he developed a bevy of practical machines, including the self-acting spinning mule, his most important contribution to the textile industry. Roberts is also known for the Roberts loom, which was widely adopted because of its reliability. In 1871, the first U.S. state fertilizer law was enacted in Delaware. The law proved a bust and had to be modified several times. And in 1914, Sir John Murray died. A Scottish naturalist, he coined the name oceanography, and he was one of the first to study ocean basins, deep sea deposits, and coral reef formations. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel of the Illinois State Water Survey and the Prairie Research Institute on the phone line to look at the weather forecast for the weekend and the end of the month of March. Thanks, Jim, for taking the time with us. It's really nice outside for March, that's for sure.
Yes, it is. It's very nice. Touch base on reality here. The normal highs for this time of year are 50 degrees for the high and about 32 for the low, 31, 32 for the low. So it's just amazing how much warmer we are than we typically are for this time of year.
Yeah, outside temperature at the time of day we're recording this afternoon, 77 degrees. And it looks like that's not the only 70-degree mark we're going to have in the near-term future. And we've had plenty of them over the last week, too.
That's right. Yeah, we've actually broke the record in Champaign-Urbana for the last 2 days. We'll probably beat it again today. And if you look at the forecast for this weekend, we'll probably set new records on Saturday and Sunday, perhaps even Monday as well, because the records for those dates are all in the upper 70s. But the forecasted high for tomorrow is 80 degrees, and on Sunday it's 79 degrees, and on Monday it's 79 degrees. So It's pretty impressive out there. It's more like a May-June kind of forecast there with a chance of showers tonight and in tomorrow and a little bit into Sunday as well. So we'll maybe see some thunderstorms roll through the area with all this. But temperatures will be well above normal, and even the lows will be fairly warm in the upper 50s and around 60-degree mark.
4-inch soil levels have been rapidly moving higher. They were not really good last week, and this week they're pretty nice.
That's right. They've jumped up almost 10 degrees in the last week. Right now, across the state, they range from the upper 40s in the northern part of the state. Here in central Illinois, they're in the upper 50s, or in the mid-50s, and in southern Illinois, they're in the upper 50s. So it's warming up rapidly out there.
Tell me about subsoil moisture conditions across the state of Illinois. Any concerns as we made our way through the wintertime?
You know, we've had some areas that didn't fully recover from the drought of last year. There's some areas in central Illinois that were seeing some low stream flows. That doesn't mean necessarily that we're in bad shape in terms of soil moisture, but it just means that we haven't fully caught up from last growing season and the whole hydrologic cycle there. But at least in terms of soil moisture, we're not in too bad a shape. We've seen some drying in that top inch or two, which is to be expected with all this warm, dry weather. So I think, for the most part, in the short term, it's great news. I think it'll be really beneficial for doing field work.
What's the possibility we flop back the other way and April turns wet and cold?
Oh, yeah, that's Illinois for you. You go from one extreme to the other.
No.
So, yeah, that's the other shoe that's going to drop, I'm afraid. The forecast through the end of March is pretty warm. The National Weather Service has well above normal temperatures all the way through the end of the month. There is a possibility we might see a strong cold front move through at the very end of not this Friday, but the next Friday on out there. So we might see some colder temperatures at some point, but at least in the short term, it's going to stay pretty warm.
Thanks much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel, Illinois State Water Survey State Climatologist. On this Friday afternoon, I'm Todd Gleason.
agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.